ministry that will open up unto us from the depths of divine mercies, from the bowels of mercies, shall ministry rivers of living waters flow out of the belly of them that believe, shall flow rivers of living waters. And these rivers issue forth from a heart that has been dealt with by the righteousness of God. And it ministers all that God is without any coloration of human channels. A stream cannot be cleaner than the channels it flows through. When you say a river is murky, a river is dirty, it's because the channels are dirty. If a fountain is pure and the channels are impure, it will carry the filth of the channel and administer. There are certain things we minister. It does not come from the throne of God, although the pure water comes from the throne, but it takes on the channels of our character and our personalities and our inclinations and our doctrinal dispositions and so on. And these things are ministered as living truths. But he showed me a pure river proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. That water that's come from God the Spirit and from the Lamb slain in the center of the throne is the water that will be carried to all peoples of the earth as part of his kingdom reign. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, look at verse 2 of Psalm 45. Grace is poured into thy lips. Grace is poured into thy lips. This scepter of the kingdom shall be released from the lips of men and women. The scepter of his kingdom is the right scepter, righteousness. This scepter shall be released from the lips of men and women. It is that scepter that will dissolve the kingdoms of this world to make way for the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. It's powerful. The Lord will introduce us into a speaking ministry. Gracious words are going to flow out of our mouths. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Hallelujah. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Therefore, the people fall under thee. These arrows are words that will flow forth out of the mouths of them whose heart God has made righteous. Guard thy sword, verse 3, upon thy thigh, O most mighty. These are instruments of spiritual warfare, instruments of the administration of the divine kingdom. Grace poured from the lips. Arrows sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Therefore, the people fall under him. Now, the righteousness of the kingdom is anchored on justification. You cannot exercise that righteousness until you know justification. Righteousness is right standing with God. Justification is to be declared righteous. To be declared right from the Father's point of view. He says the righteousness does not say, who shall go up to heaven to bring Christ down? Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Let's be a little bit deliberate about how we become partakers of this righteousness, because it is the scepter of his kingdom. He reigns in righteousness. And there is no way we can reign with him until we are one with this principle of the Lord. We read from verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Now the big lesson to learn from this is this. That righteousness speaks. Righteousness is to be declared. It speaks. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. The righteousness acknowledges that he is risen from the dead, and he sits on the throne, and that your faith in his resurrection makes you justified. And when you constantly exercise faith in the finished work of Christ, you stand in the grace of justification, and you are enabled to minister justification, to minister righteousness, because we are to rule with him and we are to reign with him. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. Righteousness does not say who goes up to bring him down, or who goes to the grave to bring him up. But what saith it? What is that righteousness that will rule with him? What does it say? The word is nigh thee. The word is nigh thee. The word is not something you cram from the book. The word is not a verse of scripture. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him, in this word, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. That eternal word became flesh to dwell among us. They called him Jesus, which means he shall save his people from their sins. He is the word of righteousness. Is Christ in the soul? Is Christ the one, the lamb slain? Is Christ risen from the dead? That is the word. And that is righteousness. That is the power of his kingdom. The lamb slain and the one risen, who is now the lion of the tribe of Judah, is what broke the Roman Empire down. That is the word. That is the word of salvation. That is the word near you. It's not a verse of scripture. It is the incarnate one slain. He said he was offered for my offenses, raised for my justification. That's the word. The one offered for my offenses and raised for my justification. And if I can grasp that in my spirit, if I can understand that in my mind, that he's been raised for my justification, and that because he's raised, everything that was buried with him is completely taken care of. That will mean I have triumphed over everything that was buried with him. Every sin of mine was placed on him, and it was offered on the cross. He was made sin who knew no sin, that I should become the righteousness of God. I do not qualify to rule with him until I become the righteousness of God. Do you understand? I cannot share in his rulership or be a partaker of his kingdom until I become the righteousness of God. So he was made sin who knew no sin, offered for my offense. Sickness was buried with him. Disease was buried with him. Sin was buried with him. Death and the power of death to hold me was buried with him. And then he triumphed over all that in resurrection. And that faith in that which God did in raising Jesus Christ from the dead justifies me. You know what it means to be justified? You are free from everything that was buried with him. You are released. Glory be to God. Everything buried with him has no power over you. That is the power of the resurrection. Praise the name of the Lord. Rest for my justification. And justification is the beginning of our walk with him. Being justified by faith in his resurrection, we have peace with God. Hallelujah. And we stand in justification to experience sanctification and glorification. There's no sanctification and glorification without justification. So you must stand in justification to experience glorification. If you fail to stand in justification, you are in a sinking sand of self-righteousness, and it can lead us to nowhere. What shall he say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Let's pause a little bit. This scepter shall flow forth from your heart to your mouth. For grace is poured into thy lips. And your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Therefore the people fall under thee. The hallmark of his throne is because a people of righteousness shall begin to speak from the heart that has been justified. His righteous works within them shall become the authority by which they will triumph over death and every circumstance that has held man bound, and will execute his own justice in the earth. It's so important. It is in their mouth and in their heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, if you are able to get this fact of resurrection into your heart, you shall be saved. That means if your heart has the understanding that every sin of yours had been completely raised. When he was raised from the dead, it was a victory over every sin that ever was and will ever be raised. If you can get that into your heart, you shall be saved. So, we concentrate in believing in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. Knowing in our hearts that every failure, every weakness, every limitation of man, Jesus overcame. And you overcame with him when he was raised from the dead. Get that into your being. There is no force on earth that can stand you. Nothing in this world can stand you. That's the power of the resurrection. And that's the power ordained to flow from your heart through your mouth, praise the name of the Lord, to bring forth salvation not only to you but to those around you. Hallelujah. May we have a revelation of this salvation that God is talking about. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, the scepter. We said the scepter is righteousness. With the heart. So how do you get a hold of the scepter? How do you get a hold of the scepter? With the heart. You believe unto righteousness.
righteousness.
And with the mouth, and with the mouth, confession, declaration is made unto salvation. So salvation is between the heart and the mouth. Now, we shall know so deeply, and we shall obtain resurrection power from our hearts, knowing fully well that our sins are forgiven, that we are positioned with Him, and speaking that which we believe by faith. May the spirit of faith take a hold of us. May our heart be stabilized by the faith of God. And may true faith we speak. And it shall be the scepter that will go forth to conquer and to rule. May the Lord quicken us as we learn to walk in the reality of this. So righteousness springs from believing in the heart that God raised Him from the dead. Standing and acting upon the grace of justification is our authority. So we have an authority to exercise in the earth. This authority is standing and acting on the grace of justification. When we walk in the light of this reality, we live in the resurrection. Romans 8:1 says, the law of the spirit of life makes us free from the law of sin and of death. And I believe Jesus, the crucified one, Jesus, the resurrected one, Jesus, the ascended Lord, Jesus, the one enthroned, will be so real inside us. And with that consciousness, we will confront our enemies and they will be small. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anointed our head with oil and our cup runneth over. And when this cup begins to run from our belly, surely goodness and mercy, they flow from within us. Our cup shall what? Run over. And our cup shall minister unto our being goodness and mercy. For the resurrection is the fulfillment of the sure message to David. They begin to flow from us. It is the river of life. I tell you, brethren, there is no situation, no enemy can stand before that. God intervenes. God intervenes. He saves. You need it anytime. Praise the name of the Lord. 2 weeks ago, we had a terrifying news in Calabar, such as, of course, we've never been facing. We've been facing some situations, and we always will trust the Lord to intervene. No sooner than we arrived from Onitsha Sunday, and just as we were getting ready to rest, came a news. And what's the news about? A dear sister in our midst, who has been a blessing to us as a body. We heard that she was traveling upon the highway. She started her journey from Calabar. She was driving alone on a car. And somewhere in Akwa Ibom, gunshot. Well, we didn't know the details then, but the long and short of the whole matter is that she's kidnapped. Of course, I've been hearing it as some dream, something that is in dreamland. I couldn't believe. I was saying, what did you say? Say that she's kidnapped. So what is going on? Who are the kidnappers? Well, we don't know them. We have no other instruments
There's no other scepter we have but these principles. Praise the name of the Lord. So we sent a text round to the brethren. Of course, the tiredness disappeared. There's something that is on the ground. It needs to be attended to. And the brethren gathered. And we began to pray. As we began to pray, the counsels from the unknown deep began to flow forth. Praise the name of the Lord. We must stand in that place of justification. There is no need ever in the world that the solution is not planted somewhere within your heart and your mouth. If you get these things into your heart, and if you learn to say it with your mouth, you shall be saved. That principle has stabilized planes when it's about to crash. You shall be saved. It's such a powerful thing. The mind cannot comprehend, but the Lord will expand us to come into kingdom reality and kingdom authority. As we began to pray, the Lord opened the eyes of one and said, well, a hand came in, pulled something out, and the word says, release. That's what we heard the Father say. And all we say is, release. Praise the name of the Lord. And here a confirmation here, and God gave us some details about what to pray for and how to pray. Certain things we are sure, I don't want to bother about that, but we pray specifically. And I made contacts with the family and said, by tomorrow, on the strength of a word, the scepter of your kingdom is the right one. I said, by tomorrow, she shall be released. Send men to look for her. She will be free. And of course, the uncle told me later, it did a lot because they were completely confused. Already there is a corpse on the ground. Their youngest born in the family died in the U.S. and was being brought for burial. And the meeting was to arrange the burial. And another member of the family kidnapped. You know what? An embarrassment and a confusion. I said, the word of the Lord came to us saying, release. And the word release has been declared. And she shall be released. And exactly Monday evening, the kidnappers called the uncle, gave the location where they were to come. Of course, the place was too dangerous. They couldn't get there that night. They said, okay, let them leave it. Let it roll over to the next day. So it rolled over. She actually came out on Tuesday. She could have come out the same Monday. But technically speaking, in the spirit, Monday it was settled. And so it was settled. The principles are the same. No instrument, no satellite, no searchlight. We didn't know where else to connect. Because my thought came, okay, I understand MTN can connect, can locate, use GPS. Maybe we can use, you know, the GPS to locate the kidnappers. The only sensible thing was to pray. Praise the name of the Lord. And God answered prayers. The principles are the same. God is faithful. Just get this word of the resurrection of Jesus in your heart. If you believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth, you shall be saved. Nothing shall stand against this word of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Sometimes you are in a strait. We possibly cannot exhaust this body. But let's drop a few things. Just dropping the principles. Without detailing out the explanation. He is called Jesus Christ. Christ is the one that breaks the yokes, the anointed one that breaks the yokes and set the captives free. When he came to this world, he was preaching about the kingdom. Before he departed, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say I am?" They suggested many things. What they've heard men say. Some say you are that prophet. Some say you are Elijah. But he said, "Who do you say I am?" Peter, by revelation, said, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's a great revelation. You are the anointed one that breaks the yokes and set the captives free. You are the one that removes the burden upon the neck and shoulders of your people. If you tell a Jew that, he thinks immediately of a military general, a mighty one who will appear to the Roman Empire and take on the formidable Roman army and conquer them and deliver them from the hold of the Romans. That's their image of the Christ. Peter says, "You are that anointed one that breaks the yokes of bondages over Israel and set the captives free." He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed it. You are Peter, a stone. Upon this rock of divine truth, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I give you the keys of the kingdom. For in that revelation lies the keys of the kingdom. If you understand that I am the anointed one that breaks the yokes and sets the captives free, therein lies the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth with the consciousness, with the understanding of these principles, is bound. Whatsoever is loosed, is loosed." And then he said something very curious. He said, "Tell no man that I am Jesus the Christ." Hey, glory be to God. Bunyo. In a jagam, shut up your mouth. Say nothing to anybody. Why would such a revelation be hidden? Such a revelation that liberates, why will it be hidden? The ministry of the Christ begins when I am raised from the dead. So tell no man that I am Jesus the Christ until I am risen from the dead. And he began to speak about the things pertaining to his death. Peter, the same guy who had the revelation, said, "No, Lord, it shall not be you. You shall not die." He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because you are preventing the ministry of the Christ from being revealed to humanity." So, Jesus, the Christ, the breaker of the yokes, the one that sets man free, began at his resurrection. Praise the name of the Lord. Matthew 16. Let's catch a little glimpse of that. Matthew 16. Matthew. Okay. He said, verse 27, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He will die. He'll be raised from the dead. And then the ministry of the Christ begins when he comes into his kingdom. And of course, with that, a long story. That was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But first, there was a resurrection. The resurrection clearly says all man's enemies, sin and death, have been overcome. The gospel, what we call the good news, the gospel is to announce to the world that Christ is risen from the dead, and therein lies the salvation of man. To operationalize this gospel, he descended on the day of Pentecost in the hearts of 120 men and women. On that day of Pentecost, all kindreds and nations were gathered from Libya, from Cyrene, from Ethiopia, down from Africa, from Crete, from the Greeks, from Persia, from Babylon. All nations under heaven were represented. And there the 120 were declaring the wonderful works of God, that he is risen from the dead. He is now enthroned. He is sitting upon the king, upon the throne of David, and he begins to administer his kingdom through forgiveness of sins. We can't get into the details of all this. But as Jesus, the resurrected Lord, is preached, and as men believe, they shall obtain forgiveness of sins. They shall obtain cleansings. That is the kingdom being born in the hearts of men and women. Praise the name of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit outpouring is actually the coronation of Christ as the king over the earth. When he was enthroned, the scripture says he obtained from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he poured out that Holy Spirit to us. You know what the Holy Spirit is doing? The Holy Spirit takes of his death and resurrection and administers it to us. It says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will take of me, he will show it to you. All that the Father has is mine. The Holy Spirit will take of the Father, he will reveal it to you. The Holy Spirit will make the death of Jesus Christ so real. The Holy Spirit will make his resurrection so real. Beyond the figment of imagination, the Holy Spirit will impress this in our hearts. That's the meaning of Hebrews 8. I will take my laws and write it in their hearts and in their minds. And I will forgive their sins and iniquities. I'll be merciful to them. I will remember no more. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to make the death and the resurrection of Christ real. Because that is the basis of the kingdom of God.
That is the gospel that is preached. Let's go to Psalm 107. We're gradually on the path of descent. Psalm 107. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Remember his resurrection according to Acts chapter 13 is a fulfillment of the promise made unto the fathers. It says the promise made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled this to us their children, in that he has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. For he obtained from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit and has poured it to us. This is exactly what he said in the Psalm. It is the mercy promised to the fathers. Did he ever promise something to David? Did he promise something to Abraham? He fulfilled it in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the fulfillment of the mercies to the fathers. So his throne is actually the throne of mercy, the throne of grace. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Verse 10. "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help." 13. "They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." 14. "He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he had broken the gates of brass and caught the bars of iron in sunder." This scripture was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. "All that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." To understand the scripture, link it up to Psalm 24. In verse 7 it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." The King of glory came in to the hearts of men on the day of Pentecost. The gates were lifted up. The everlasting doors of unbelief were lifted up. And the Christ came to dwell in the midst of his people. The ministry of the Christ is to break the gates of brass and to cut the bars of iron. All that has afflicted man, symbolized as the book bound by with seven seals, is to be loosed. Until man bound by seven seals is completely free, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to enforce the victory of Calvary. For when he said it is finished, you cannot add to the work of redemption. You cannot subtract from it. On the cross, it is finished. But the victory that has been finished is to be accomplished in your life. And that is the place of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost is so critical to the kingdom of Jesus Christ upon the earth. Because through the Holy Spirit, the yokes are broken. The mercies of the Lord, revealed in the resurrection of Jesus, can be experienced by you when you exercise faith in his finished work. And the Holy Spirit is to take all the parables of Jesus, all the teachings of Jesus, and impress it upon your heart and your mind. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will impress it upon their minds. I will be to them God, and they shall be to me a people. That is the key of David. With that key, every door is opened. And everything that is supposed to be shut down is shut down. We need to come to the authority of the church, because our king now reigns. Our king now sits upon the throne. From henceforth, expecting till all his enemies are put under footstool. For Paul says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan shortly under our feet. It is consistent with the promise of the seed. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Glory be to God. And that seed is Christ, the enthroned one, who now sits upon the throne. So we say, salvation be unto our God, who sits upon the throne. Not who will sit, who now sits upon the throne. Salvation be unto God. We can say that in this planet earth. Salvation be to the Lord who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. No nation can stand before the decree of the sons of God, who have this key in their hands. The key of David. They open. No man can shut. They shut down. No man can open. We are not going to be terrified in this world. We are going to understand the power of the Christ. Hallelujah. Who now dwells within us. He is risen from the dead. No more to return to corruption. On this wise he says, I give unto you the sure message of David. The Holy Ghost will lead us into all truths. He will lead us into all truths. The truth of redemption. The truth of his glorification. The truth of divine operations. God will enlarge our understanding to cause us to know that we are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. So that we can begin to function in the authority. It says the scepter of your kingdom is the right scepter. In Psalm 110:10, he says the Lord, Psalm 110:2, he says the Lord will send the rod of thy strength out of Zion to rule in the midst of the enemy. The rod of the strength of the Lord is the spirit of his mouth. He says that the evil one shall be revealed in 2 Thessalonians 2. But the Lord will destroy him with what? The spirit of his mouth. We shall learn to speak. This breath, the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy the Antichrist. And with the brightness of his arising, with the brightness of his rising, we read in Isaiah, he says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until what? The righteousness
Go forth as brightness. There is a righteousness yet to go forth. There is a standing in justification yet to go forth out of our spirits. There is a knowledge of the Lord yet to go forth like brightness. The righteousness is dimmed by all kinds of doctrinal notions and misunderstandings and sins and, you know, not fully coming into consciousness. But the righteousness shall go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth man speak unto what? Salvation. So the righteousness shall go forth as brightness. Faith in the resurrection shall be increased in these last days. And our declarations, standing on the faith of Christ, shall be so pronounced in these last days that judgment shall be administered. Look, the kingdom of God is critical. It is the kingdom of God, when brought into full operation, that will administer the judgments. The kingdom people will administer judgments to the world. It is the church that understands authority. For God says He will judge the world through you and I. Hallelujah. We shall judge angels. So there must be a kingdom understanding that Christ is enthroned. The kingdom is not future. The kingdom is not past. The kingdom is your revelation of the Christ. That you are the Christ, the breaker of the yokes, the one that opens the seven seals and sets man free. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne is the breaker of the seals. And when the Lamb opened the books, things began to happen. Who opened the seals? The Lamb. The Lamb. The Lamb. The Savior of the world. Who? We need to understand the things that flow from His death and resurrection. He will bring us into the knowledge of the grace of God, bringing salvation. Hallelujah. This is the new creation reality. Phase one of the kingdom, we shall come first to an understanding of His installation. He is installed. We shall now begin to move into the conquest. This conquest is the inner conquest. He shall put down all rule and authority. Every imagination in our minds that work contrary to the redemption He has provided is to be pulled down within us. And of course, as we continue to draw from the Holy Spirit to work over, you know, to overcome. He says, He that overcomes, I will grant that he sits with me on my throne, as I overcame and am sat on the Father's throne. This shall culminate in the resurrection from the dead and take the world into another phase. Now, there shall also be the visible manifestation of the kingdom. For now, the kingdom is within. It is the life of consecration. It is the life of inner transformation and the dominion that springs from such transformation. As we begin to understand His death and resurrection, we begin to have the power to bind kings and nobles with fetters of iron. We begin to control our environment. We begin to determine in a measure the destiny of our nation. We begin to determine in reasonable dimensions the future of our children and our families and our environment. We are no longer hemmed by circumstances, because the waters flow out of our belly. He says, it springs up unto where? Eternal life. It springs up unto everlasting life. That means it keeps springing until we are bedded into the fullness of the life that is in Jesus. And if we have been faithful over little, we shall be faithful over much. If we are able to rule over one inner kingdom, you can rule over 10 cities. The Lord will begin to bring us into this consciousness. And then we begin to move in kingdom power, breaking the darkness all around us, casting devils out. I mean, so many things will begin to happen in the church and in our world. But God needs to bring us to a knowledge of what He is doing. There is an establishment or installation. There is a conquest. And then there is a possession. The saints shall possess the kingdom. The saints shall possess the kingdom. That's what Daniel says. The saints shall administer judgments.
In some we shall administer the judgments that have been written, and dishonor have all his saints. The Lord has called us to be partakers of this kingdom reality through our knowledge of Christ, the slain one, and our faith in Christ, the one raised from the dead, for our justification. For righteousness flows from that, and in righteousness we shall execute judgment. For the scepter of the kingdom is righteousness. And you will not understand righteousness until the Holy Spirit comes in to begin to open your eyes to the righteousness of God. And then you can begin to wield the scepter. The Lord will send the rod of his strength out of Zion. A people, a brave army, a people that can speak the word of God. But first they have the word within them. And the word flowing like a river will take possession of their vocal organs. It will come out of their mouth. If you believe, you shall speak, and salvation shall be unto the Lord, who sits upon his throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever and ever. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, we just have to stop here. It's not something that can be captured in one day. It's not a principle that can be understood like a press button. We need to reflect and meditate upon it. His ministry is righteousness. His glory is grace. By righteousness, he administers the kingdom. It is the authority of his kingdom. And if you fail in it, if you cannot connect to that righteousness, you collapse. You cannot stand. You lack your standing in grace. But if you can stand in the justification, then you experience the resurrection. The resurrection, as the vision was indicated yesterday, a people with the righteousness of God. It says they are in the resurrection, and that is true. If you are in the righteousness, you are in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Because when you are in righteousness, standing and trusting only in the merits of the Savior, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ begins to break free, make you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death has put some marks over you. Some terrible marks that no crying can remove. Only the law of life can cancel the workings of the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death may have defined your age limit, but only the law of the Spirit of life can break that barrier set over you and set you free. So we need to stand consistently in the merits of the Savior. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk every day in the Spirit of the Lord. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's a powerful law, sin and death. The soul that sinner shall die. But there's a law that breaks the power of earth's gravity. Cut off the power of sin and death, the law of sin and death. Brings you into a reality called the law of the Spirit of life. If you grasp that law, kingdom authority is yours. To the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. He says, sit thou at my right hand until I make all thine enemies thy footstool. You know what that means? The Holy Ghost in my heart, bringing to my consciousness the death and the resurrection of Jesus, gives me the ability to bring every challenge that will arise in my world under my footstool. That's the kingdom. The keys are in your hands. The keys are in your hands. Let's grab those keys. Glory be to God. And when we move around the world either as individuals or as a corporate body of people upon the earth, the powers of this world shall be broken into pieces. Amen. My brethren, we can bring this kingdom authority to bear on our nation, Nigeria. We can bring this kingdom authority to bear upon the circumstances of our lives that bind us. We can bring a change in our world. We can bring these principles to bear upon the whole of Africa. We shall see the King in all His beauty. May the Lord quicken us and bring us to the daily understanding of this. May the Spirit of Revelation expand these principles to us until there shall be no more curse, because the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb are in it. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The rivers of living waters is flowing from your belly. Amen. The stammering lips shall speak plainly. That which is blind shall see. The lame shall begin to walk. The dead are raised. God is glorified. And we can enjoy His wonderful praises and worship. And we shall see He shall take us into His deeper faces. And all the world shall return to the Lord. For He is the governor among all nations. India shall submit to the authority of this king. China shall be broken into pieces to acknowledge the authority of this king. Saudi Arabia shall be broken into pieces and the wealth confiscated and dried up by the authority of this king. The power of idolatry will be broken in our world. He is King of Kings. And He is Lord of Lords. And the armies which are in heaven followed Him upon white horses. His name is called the Word of God. With the high praises of God in their mouth, with the two-edged sword in their hands, they shall bind kings with chains. Nobles they shall take on with fetters of iron. Dishonor of all His saints. And a mighty angel came down with a foot on earth and the other on land. Satan shall be bound for 1,000 years by the church. The millennial reign shall be brought upon the earth by a kingdom people. He shall reign forever. But let Him begin to reign in my life. And the greatest way we acknowledge His rulership is to reverence and worship Him as the installed king. And we shall begin to see Him express Himself in our midst in wonderful ways. All glory to our God, who seated on the throne.
Oh, to the Lamb, the
Let's take this one.
No.
The other one that says, all glory, glory, glory to the Lord.
All glory, glory,
glory to the Lord. All glory, all glory,
glory,
glory, glory, glory, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hosanna.
to the living God.
Hallelujah.
First of all, we're going to commit our lives to God as a kingdom people unto whom the kingdom pertains, to become loyal subjects of the kingdom of God that has begun. That the realities and the pathways of this kingdom, the rulership of Christ, be revealed to us. That the eyes of our understanding will begin to comprehend the inheritance that is in the saints. He has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That will begin to experience in functional terms the power of the kingdom of God in our lives. Have we been deficient of power, experiential power, operational power, to bring to bear the authority of the Lord in our lives? It is time to say, Lord, open my eyes to see you as the reigning king. As the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that I may worship you. That I may bow before this King and worship him as a loyal subject. That your kingdom will begin to bear effect in my life. That I begin to experience the authority of the Lord. There are things going on in our lives that we should simply take charge of if we are in contact with the King. For he is now reigning in righteousness. It was a prophecy in Isaiah's time, but it's a reality today. And he now rules, his princes now rule in justice. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest, rivers of water in a dry land,
the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. May all that be your portion and my portion. Let's dedicate our lives afresh to the one who called us to be partakers of his inheritance with the saints in light, and translating us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We are now no longer under the control of darkness, but under the kingdom of his dear son. And so we begin to experience the power of the dear son through the Holy Spirit. Let the veils be taken away. Let our hearts be in union with the King, wherein flows all power, so that grace will be poured out of our lips. Yea, that our arrows become sharp in the heart of the King's enemies, that the people fall under us, that strangers become obedient unto us, and as soon as they hear the voice of our mouth, they shall be frightened from our close places. Oh, that our head be anointed with fresh oil, and our cup run over, that we may begin to experience the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. Oh, that the living waters will overtake us, that we will drink of this life, and this life begin to flow. Let's just begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. Let there be an open heaven to each and every one of us. Oh God. Paul prayed, asked the Ephesian church to pray for a revelation, for an understanding, that they will begin to understand these vital, precious principles in Christ. Ah, randa kosandaria makondo rama legesa talando roka badandeka. Rakanda Roma, Lekoranda, Marondo Sakaliko Rolobakas, Lekrando Soprondo La Baranda Sakilo Romundo Shaba, Legrena Sopro, Vikrena Balando Rosapondo Riama, Rombolo Bosondro Loco Baranda Sekrimondos, O Randa Calabondo, Sekirima Malabondo Ronumbisolo Dondos, Re Maladosos. Remala banono sikiela baba halados. Mondo rababika lido robosandara la manderia kadanando sokroliba baladani resini. Oh, malandarias kadalamburosha kadabanuski. Oh, ralanani yala bondo ramina kasiki di mondo rokushana diala.
Mandoros, Landarima Narabasur Bushki Naraba Rabali Rima Mosandar Lebushki Yamarabusha Boriala Nakastadi Bala Moshanda Rala Baba Kondoro Boshanda Baba Kanda Bakuria. There are a few words that have come. I read this as the word was going on. I heard the Lord say, I have been merciful unto your unrighteousness. But some of you here hold your brothers and sisters to false mistakes that they have made. Some even said they would never forgive. The way I forgive you, forgive others. Some of you here your brethren have come to you who offended you, but you walked them away from you, from your presence. I have forgiven you, go and sin no more. That simply means go and forgive others. I saw one among us opened up and a man full of muscles came out of the person. Well, I suppose that will be deliverance from the strong one that had held that person, that Christ may take complete control. And another says, the same thought, food was served of different types. The first one was with meat and bone. The second one was donuts. Well, that's just indicative of the Lord saying we should release others as He has released us. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I believe the Lord has begun to do among us a work of cleansing.
You have taken long time to appreciate the kingdom. You have adored it as though afar off. This day, yet declare I unto you, the kingdom stands in the midst of thee. It shall not be upon old government. It shall not be carved upon your ways, not upon the ways of man, but upon my holiness, born upon my righteousness. And then shall the light go forth, and the light shall shine, and all men shall see it.
We take note of all that the Lord is saying, and and we take note of that word that has just come. Let the light of the kingdom of God begin to shine in us. Paul admonished Timothy, says, give thyself to these things, that thy profiting may appear unto all. May the Lord help us to grow in this understanding and experience the reality of the working of his kingdom. He is Lord of all, and he has begun to reign from Jerusalem. May the Lord urge us forward in these living truths. In Jesus' name we pray.